Hi, everyone. Bill Gallagher. So our show, our topic today is about your vivid vision. Is your vision clear to anyone else? Is it only in your head? Is it not even well-formed in your head? We're going to deal with all that and more with our conversation today with Jennifer Hootie. So hang in there. Bill Gallagher, scaling coach, host of the Scaling Up Business Podcast. We bring shows like this, over 300 now, to you every week. Tips, interviews with gurus, stories from leaders about how they grew their company, all that and more, you'll find at scalingcoach.com. If you want to search the back catalog for something, maybe you need to hire somebody. Maybe you need to get your roles drilled in right. Maybe you need to get KPIs sorted out or develop your dashboards or hone your strategy or pivot or whatever it is. You'll find all that and more, over 300 topics now at scalingcoach.com. So I want to welcome Jennifer Hootie to the show. So Jennifer is head of a company, and we're going to give you the link later, but it's Conscious Copy. And she's got a website about helping to create your vivid vision. And she's done a lot of work with people in our world, has done a huge amount of work with Cameron Harold and his clients, and been a key resource for that. We've started to recommend her to people. And I thought it'd be great to have her on the show, tell some of the stories about creating a compelling, vivid vision, and what are the steps, and how do they work with people, and so on. So welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Excited to
be here.
Where
are you today?
Where am I?
Yes. Where
are you? Solana Beach, California.
Oh, that doesn't suck.
Doesn't suck at all. Walking distance from the beach.
We'll be down near there soon. Actually, we've got stops coming up with clients in Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, Orange County, and San Diego, Carlsbad. And
it's close.
All that right in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So welcome to the show. So let me just say a little bit more and then you can talk about your background and getting started. And we'll get into this whole topic of creating killer, cool, compelling, vivid visions. So she's founder and CEO of this company, ConsciousCopy.com. And she's worked with a range of really well-known folks from strategic coach to bulletproof coffee and so on. And she really, there's a big connection here with Cameron Harold. So we'll talk about that and more. So as we get started, talk to us about your background and how what led to this? Mm-hmm. What were you as a young girl that had you be like this? How did you connect with Cameron? And so fill us in, tell us the whole story.
Yeah. So back in 2015,
yeah,
I was starting my company that I have now called Conscious Copy, and I was just starting off. I was a contractor at the time, wanted to kind of make it in the digital marketing industry, and wasn't well known by any means yet. Just had my own experience and background of gaining some momentum in the digital marketing world based on a business that I had started before that. And I was at a business dinner with another group of entrepreneurs, and Cameron Harold happened to be there. And I remember he asked me, "Hey, what do you do?" And I told him a little bit about it. And he's like, "Read my book, Vivid Vision, and make sure to craft a vivid vision for this new business that you're creating." And so I took that advice and sat down, created a vivid vision, which is really painting the picture of what it is you want your company to look like 3 years into the future as if it already happened. And there was part of me, though, that felt like, how the heck is this going to happen? You know, I'm a contractor. Nobody really knows me in the industry, but I had this vision that I wanted to become the number one copywriting agency in the online business and personal development space. I wanted to work with people that were my heroes, like Dan Sullivan and Joe Polish and Brendan Bouchard and all of these people that had really changed my life by reading their books and their programs and that sort of thing. I wanted to build a team. I wanted to grow a $1 million business. And so I just wrote it all down. I was like, I don't know how this is going to happen, but you know, I'm going to take Cameron's advice here. And so fast forward, you know, I was just doing, you know, doing what I could every single day to gain some momentum in my business. And within 6 months, I had this amazing opportunity that kind of like came up out of the blue to work with some of the people that were names that I had put as dream clients in my Vivid Vision, people like Joe Polish and Dan Sullivan. And that was a really key point for me in my business where I started to gain a lot of momentum. And over those 3 years, built an awesome team and started to become the go-to in our industry, specifically for copywriting and messaging and speaking on some of the industry's biggest stages like traffic and conversion or Genius Network annual event. And the Vivid Vision was a really key component for me in my own journey.
Yeah.
But along kind of running parallel to building Conscious Copy, Cameron reached out to me. He had become a client and a dear friend. And he said, hey, I'm noticing that a lot of the CEOs and entrepreneurs that I coach or that are reading my book, they are getting stuck with being able to communicate their vision. And I'm telling them to create a vivid vision, but there's, you know, they have it in their head. They don't know how to communicate it. So they're not getting it done. And as a result, it's really stalling their business. Would you and your team be open to helping them to write their vivid visions? And the way that I viewed it is like a vivid vision is kind of like a sales page for your future.
Yeah.
So I was like, this seems similar to what we're already doing. And about 5 years ago, or about 4 years ago, we started helping companies write and design their vivid visions. And so fast forward now to 2021, and we've helped over 300, coming up about 350 companies one-on-one, and then hundreds with our courses and programs on it. And it has been one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done to really be part of that super important sacred process for an entrepreneur or CEO to translate what they see so crystal clear in their mind onto a page in a way where they're like, this is the snapshot, this is what I see. And then being able to have their team actually see what they see. It's been an amazing, amazing ride, and I'm so grateful.
So I'm going to have you share some stories, some examples of some of the people you work with, what it was like and the impact on their companies. But I see the same thing again and again. So people have a vague notion of something in their head. There's a lot of detail missing from what it is. It's certainly not well articulated. And then they get hung up on the process, stopped about how it should look in the end, how much to put in it, not put in it, what the process should look like, who should be involved with it, where to use it. Like all of these things come up in the end. And then they worry about getting it right and doing a bad job and like everything they do, especially this, because it's so like critical to that future, and they're afraid to put something out there, and gotta get all of these things a lot. So I will address some of that stuff as we go through. Let's tackle some of the stories, the examples that you've got, because I think with that will come some insight to the process. You start with any of them that you like, really.
Sure. So, you know, I kind of look at it in twofold when coming up with a vision. And the first one is gaining clarity of the vision.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's being able to effectively communicate it. And so one of my clients that came to me, her name is Victoria, and she was successful in venture capital and then decided to step away from venture capital, and she wanted to build a coaching business. And when she was building her coaching business, her outcome that she really wanted to focus on was working with some of the top CEOs in Silicon Valley. And she came to me, and she had, you know, had a vision of some of the key things that she wanted help with, But when we sat down, one of the parts of our process we call a vision expander session. And that's where we actually interview the entrepreneur or CEO. And one of the main intentions too is stretching them a little bit. If we can like sense them, maybe their 3-year vision, they're playing a little bit smaller than we know that they what's possible for them, we'll invite them to think bigger. And so with her, when she was talking about what her core business activities look like, one of the ideas that dropped in was the idea of equity deals. You know, she's working with these larger companies. And in that vivid vision, she was able to get way more clear than even she was in her mind or in the vision expander session, way more clear than in her mind. And then we were able to turn it into the vivid vision. And I remember her leaving the expander session being like, I had no idea how I'm going to make this happen. And I was like, that's not the point for right now. Like the point of the vision is to focus on the what, the why, the where, and leave the how to another session. And so fast forward, and she ended up again in some really wild ways attracting in some key companies in Silicon Valley, one of them in which when she started working with the two founders, they were valued at about $600 million. When they ended up getting acquired to PayPal for $2.1 billion in 18 months. Yeah. And she had an equity deal in addition to that. You know, so, and that happened. You know, she thought, gosh, okay, that's about 3 years down the line. That happened in 18 months. But that wouldn't have happened if she didn't get crystal clear of what she really wanted and put it down on paper, which can sometimes feel a little bold when there's one thing we can think in our mind, but putting it down is like, okay, we're going for this.
Yeah. I've certainly struggled with that in the past. Like there's what I really, really want. And then there's what I want to go on record. And I want more than I often say. And I think I'm not alone in this. And I don't want to look like a fool for playing a big game or declaration and then come up short. And then people, yeah, but he said whatever, and he's not really doing that. And look, you know, and then, right. I've done that one definitely a few times.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Because it's one thing for us to write down, I call it like the golden being aware of the golden jail cell. So on that vision expander session, one of the questions we'll ask is like, do you really want this? And like, if this all comes true, would you love it?
Yeah.
Because the last thing we want to have happen is develop a vision, pour your time, money, resources, and life force into it, get there 3 years later and realize that it's not what you wanted, but it wasn't even what you wanted to begin with. And you knew that.
Yeah.
And then you feel trapped.
I think that, so I hear like playing it safe, but then I also hear doing what you think others want you to do versus declaring and playing a game for what you really want. Mm-hmm. That thing of like, well, I think I'm supposed to say this, right? My spouse, my funders, the other people want me to say this, so I'm going to say that. And I think we do that to varying degrees and not even necessarily conscious, which is really, I think, great about your reality check question. Like, would you really be happy if you had this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it can be so unconscious. We have no idea. I've definitely fallen in that trap before where, you know, I've built certain aspects of my business based around my insecurities until I realized, oh, you know, interesting that is when I catch it, then I can choose again. But there is some key questions that we really got to ask ourselves around, like, would we love this? Is it what we really want? If we get it, do we think we'll actually be happy? It's really important in that part.
Yeah. Let's share some more examples. You, in getting ready for the show, you talked about a company with a CEO named Scott or somebody.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. What kind of company was that? What'd you do there? How'd that go?
Yeah. So When Scott came to us, he has an epic biotech company that has been growing really quick over the last 18 months or so. And he collaborated with a parent company on licensing this really powerful biotech technology that can essentially vibrate frequencies through your body in a very safe way, linked to, like, if you need more energy or if you want to sleep and that sort of thing. So it's this technology that has so much potential. And he was raising money and getting investors. And one of the challenges that he was running into was that there was all of these people that saw the potential for what it could be. And so everybody's coming to him offering all of the things that he should do with his company. And, you know, you should go in this direction and you should create this avenue and you should, you know, dive into this channel. And it was starting to feel a little bit overwhelming to him because he was clear of what some of his main milestones are. He's a brilliant entrepreneur. And one of the reasons in which we helped him create the Vivid Vision for was to use it as a tool to hand to potential investors or partners and say, hey, this is where we're headed over the course of the next 3 years. So if you see something that can help us in the how get there faster, awesome. But if not, like, this is where we're focusing in on. And one of the things that I share often with our clients is, as entrepreneurs or CEOs, one of our greatest gifts is that we see opportunity everywhere. And one of our greatest kryptonites is we see opportunity everywhere. And so when you have a clear, vivid vision, you can use that tool to really filter if something is an opportunity aligned to the vision or if it's a seductive distraction, as I call it. Those things that look like, oh, this would be perfect. And then, you know, 6 months down the line and it was just a distraction.
Yeah, I think I love hearing this because I've had this, I know others have had this where you're pitching or even just sharing an idea with other entrepreneurs, with investors, with connectors, with potential customers. And then they start to give you ideas. And if the ideas are very related and solve problems that you have, it's very welcome. If the ideas go off in a different direction, you may be tempted to or feel a need to like answer, argue, or explain them away rather than just take them and go, oh, that's cool. That's interesting. Thank you. And if you haven't shared the full vision with someone, sometimes they'll take you off in some really weird directions that are interesting, but ultimately distracting. And you'll lose what they might have shared had they heard the kind of the fullness of what you're trying to accomplish and how to get there. And I hear pros and cons of that, but it could be frustrating, right, to get ideas and then end up being like, well, they're not really open to anything because it looks like you're swatting away things. Or even hiring people that come in and they are all excited about your technology or your product or service, and then they have a totally different idea about where it's going. Then you're fighting with new employees about the direction they want to take the business.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if we look at any great company that like grows rapidly, it's because they had the ability to focus. It's like a magnifying glass. You know, if the sun shines on you, it's going to be relatively warm, but put a magnifying glass, you know, on the part of your skin and it focuses in and you can make a pretty big dent there. And the same thing goes when we're able to just pinpoint where are we focusing and doubling down on that. And it's something too, you know, as an entrepreneur myself, I got to look at my vivid vision multiple times a week or sometimes even a day, just to remind myself, this is where we're going. Shiny object. Nope. This is where we're going.
Let's talk more about how to use it. You also shared a guide with a community bank, a multi-location community bank, and what they did with their vision. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So One of our clients, Adam, came to us. He is a multi-location community bank. And one of the challenges that he was running into is he saw the direction in which he wanted to take the company, and he was really quite clear of it. But he was noticing that the rest of his team didn't see what he saw. And there were some team members that if they had meetings or strategic meetings, they'd hear parts of the vision here and there, and they were feeling really inspired. But across the board, the whole company didn't see this kind of up-level direction that they were planning on going into. So our team helped him in gaining clarity or clarifying the vision even more, but getting it out on paper, designing it. And when he went into the boardroom to share with first his core team, he shared that the team that walked in to the meeting and the team that walked out, it was a completely different team. And some of the main reasons in which he shared was with the team that came in, a lot of them were operating and making decisions from where the company was currently at. And he was feeling like he had to micromanage them a lot. And some of the comments as they were going through the vision was like, oh, that's why we're doing that. Or like, this makes so much sense now. Or like, oh, I see why we're doing this now. And it was almost like the puzzle all came together for them. And he had just, shared with our team, it was a completely different energy. And he felt like there was this coherence that happened as a result. And that's a big part of the Vivid Vision, is aligning the current team so that everyone's on board and making decisions from the vision versus from the current reality or the way that things used to be. And as a result, then the founder and CEO can focus more on working on the business versus having to micromanage, because the team actually sees what the ultimate end outcome is.
Yeah. It's funny. This lesson, I think I first learned as a radio DJ. And I remember I was on the phone with our music program director one evening, and I'm like, Ken, why are we playing? Like, this music's bullshit, man. I'm sick of that song. I don't want to hear it anymore. He's like, listen, we're not playing music for you. We're playing music for everyone out there, for all the listeners. And they're not sick of that song yet. So put on Dead or Alive again and spread, right? Like, and I don't know if that was a song or not. I'm just making up something from the 80s. But it was a really good point. Like, you're playing and you're speaking what they need to hear. And sometimes it sounds like you've already done that. You've already covered that. But that repetition of the key thing, that the couple of few points that you want to make really clearly, creating that vision and then just on and on and on, repeating it till people know it, till they memorize it, till they have it as clearly and consistently can recall it as you do, makes a difference. Pat Lencioni, business author, guru in this area, has said, look, when your employees, when your team, when your friends can do an impression of you talking about that vision, do it like an accurate and funny impression of you, you've begun to do it enough.
I love that. Yeah.
That's fun.
I actually have a study that shows that people forget 50 to 80% of what they learned one day after they've heard it, and 97 to 98% after a month. So to that point, if you've shared your vision once or twice, well, I did it at the yearly meeting, it's likely that the team has already forgot about it.
Yeah. Cameron Harold does a great example or illustration of this when he's speaking. He says, listen, if we were going to make a movie called Sound of Music, how many of you have seen Sound of Music? And, some hands will go up and others won't. And he'd be like, okay, those of you that have seen this movie that know about this, you just keep your mouth shut. And then the rest of you, we're going to make this movie, we're going to create a poster for the movie, and it was going to be about, a picnic like, where should it be? What should it look like? What should be there? What should they be doing? That kind of thing. And he asked people questions. And he's like, it's a little bit like that for us as business. We have a pretty clear picture of what we want to achieve, but everybody else has a different idea. Mm-hmm. And they're interpreting a few things that we say because you haven't given them enough. I made the picture rich enough, which is, I think, a really useful. Of course, then he shows the poster from the movie from way back when. And they're like, oh, that's not what I was imagining.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as entrepreneurs, not just entrepreneurs in general, we think that people see what we see when we're explaining something. And it's kind of like, you know, you're saying, okay, we're going to host a party, and you see it in your head and you think everyone knows exactly what kind of party that you see in your head. So yes, you tell your team, okay, great, let's do this. One person thinks it's a wedding, so they bring a wedding cake. Another person thinks it's a luau, so they bring, you know, hula dancers. Another person thinks it's a baby shower, so they bring a bunch of baby shower decorations. And then you come and you're like, no, this was like a bar mitzvah. You know, how did you guys not get it? That happens so often.
I think having hula dancers at your bar mitzvah would be pretty badass.
Totally. And a wedding cake, right?
So you talked about another one, a marketing company. Tell us about that business and what they did. And I think that's useful.
Yeah. So there is this epic marketing company that I've had the pleasure of working with for a few years. And the founder, his name is Billy Jean. And he's... nope. he I think his middle name's Gene, but he did that on purpose too, to be very memorable, but like brilliant, brilliant marketer. You know, their Facebook ads have been viewed billions of times. And he's grown his business very quickly, but in the rapid growth, they have such a potent company culture. Like I remember maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when I went, flew to their headquarters, and like as soon as you walk in, you're just like, okay, this place is different. There's this buzz, this energy, all of these young millennials who are just split testing every single ad and the sales metrics going across the boards, and the culture is very distinct too. Like you're coming here, and if you think things like work-life balance is something that you use a lot in your vocabulary, this is the wrong place. And so the challenge that he is noticing there was with the rapid growth and bringing on a ton of new team members all at once, they really wanted to make sure that they got the culture as soon as they came in.
Yeah.
And that they really got the vision too, so that they could plug in and just figure out the result, make it happen versus having to micromanage them because they weren't open to that. So they used the Vivid Vision a lot in their job descriptions of saying, hey, this is where we're headed. This is where what we're about. And if you're not totally stoked by the end of reading this, it's not going to be a good fit. And I love that because then right off the bat, you're getting people who are either into the vision or not. And that's the exact outcome that you want. And then you save yourself so much time and energy going through the rest of the hiring process if they're not really stoked about it.
Yeah, it's great and clear. We often end up with people on the team who shouldn't be on the team, customers who shouldn't be on our customer roster, vendors who should be really, like all of these people. And if we got clearer about that vision, it would make a big difference in having people self-select on or off, you know, like, oh, I want to be part of that. Or no, thank you. That sounds terrible to me. Right. And I don't think there's any one right answer. Like I have worked with a number of companies that have scaled lovely and huge who had work-life balance. It was really important to them. Mm-hmm. Like having no balance is not the way to do it, but it is one possible way to build your company of really dedicated people who are spending all their time there. And in fact, some of our places to attract and retain people the companies that we've worked with have put in services in the office because they want to keep them there. Of course, in the last year, it's been more about helping to have them work from home and yet still be connected. But in spite of those circumstances right now, that creating that whole thing, that not just what you want to accomplish, but what it looks like in the end, how you're connected, how you work, how you interact with the world, what you do, what you don't do, who you work with, who you don't work with, the impact that you have, the style, the flavor, what kind of people work there, what people say about your business, right? All of this and more, mm-hmm. that's baked into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole idea, you know, when we even would write sales pages at our company, the whole idea is we want to attract the right people and repel the wrong people as quick as possible. Because we don't, you know, in marketing, you don't want to pay for leads that aren't your ideal leads. You don't want them to go through your sales process and get on a sales call if they're not the right lead. Well, the same thing goes with recruiting talent and putting out job ads and descriptions. You want to get people who are in right off the bat.
I think that's a danger also of the way we communicate all things, not just the vivid vision. But if you don't let enough of your preferences, your style, your values come out, then you end up with this sort of watered down gray, I'm something for everyone kind of a business that doesn't compete effectively anywhere. It often ends up with people that, clients, customers, employees who feel a little bit off, right? If we try to sort of like bring the whole thing down to some gray middle ground that offends no one, like go ahead, take a risk, be something unusual, mm-hmm. piss some folks off, but make some others like passionately in love with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's that saying, you're either, if you try to be everything to everybody, you're going to be nothing to nobody.
Nothing to nobody.
Yeah.
It's really, really great. Well, you've shared some good things with us. Talk to us a little bit about the process, the way that you work, kind of what the flow is. We've done a couple of shows on the topic before. I think we did one with Cameron, but we for sure have done a couple with Brian Scudamore on this topic. And I'd love to kind of hear just your flow. And what does the output look like when people have worked with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and for those of people who've watched the episodes with Brian and Cameron, I always, you know, give the big credit that this is where the concept stemmed from. And our company is really the ones who get to deliver on it. And, so they, when they created 1-800 Got Junk, they have a really cool story where they were plateaued for several years. And then they had this idea, why don't we create a vivid vision? Or they saw an Olympic athlete share on the idea of visualization, winning gold yeah. medals. So they said, like, let's try that for 1-800 Got Junk. And then in those 3 years, they were featured, they grew to over $100 million, featured in Oprah, a Harvard Business Review case study, number 2 company culture in Canada. And so, yeah, just so much admiration and respect for those guys. Yeah. And so with the process, what we do is we really help the entrepreneurs in crafting their vivid vision. So if they know they want to do it, but they get stuck in the actual creation of it,
yeah.
There is basically 5 steps that we go through with them. We call it the vivid vision method. So step 1 is going through a vivid vision mind map. So actually going somewhere that is expansive and brainstorming on all of the different areas of your business that you'd love to see 3 years into the future as if it's already happened. And then once that's complete, we go into step 2, which is expanding your vision. So our team actually interviews the entrepreneur or CEO on your vision. So you just have to show up and share the different areas. We help stretch you in some areas if we notice maybe you're playing a little small, or even just ask those questions like, hey, is this what you really want?
Step 1, we cover in some detail in an episode with Brian Scudamore, and we've got a set of questions he shares about the process. So we have, go Amazing. Listen to the past episode on that. And it, you could do that part and get started on your own. The step two, though, is really useful to do with someone like you guys or a coach or somebody where you're getting somebody to push you and really expand that thing and not have you play it so safe. And then also bring some outside listening to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it is key to have someone who is very neutral to your vision. I don't recommend having team members help with it because there is a chance that they're going to put their own spin on it, or they're going to filter things that they like or don't like.
100%. Or, they have a stake, right? They care because they have a role. They want to make sure that it has a place for them, or that they're not threatened by it, or like that. Kind of
thing. Or right. An even bigger one is that they're going to get caught up in the how, and they're going to start asking how questions. And I've witnessed that where that can just pop, you know, your enthusiasm bubble when you're in the vision, you're experiencing painting the picture, and then it's like, well, how the hell are we going to make that happen? Poof, you're back in.
Back. I can't have a huge private jet. I've got to settle for a little crop duster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that part is really key. And we've also found that most entrepreneurs and CEOs, they are more audible versus writing, versus write. So there's so many ideas that come through as they're riffing that maybe even they didn't even know were part of it.
Yes, yes, yes. A lot of us are verbal, right? Entrepreneurs who have started companies often have some, maybe they don't even come from sales, but they have some persuasive thing, and that's usually verbal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You totally get that.
So that's step two. Step three is the copy creation. Yeah. So we have vivid vision writers that are trained to craft the vivid vision using all of Cameron's principles from his book, as well as ensuring that it is persuasive. You know, it is like a sales page for your future. So using language that really pops off the page, is visual, exciting, creates an emotional response, is how we write it.
Yeah.
And we get feedback from the client, what they like, what they don't like. They're definitely part of that process, but we try to make it as simple as possible for them in giving feedback. And then we go into step four, which is the vision imagery. So we design. So it's a 5 to 6 page document. We fully customize the design for the company and make sure to add images that would represent that vision, whether they're actual images that they have or finding other images, because that's an important part of it too. We've even had companies who, once we craft the design for their vivid vision, they take that new even branding and then they transfer that over to all of their websites and their marketing to make sure it's a representation of it. And then from there, you really have your vivid vision document. And step five is what we call the vivid vision rollout, which we share some of the ways in which to roll it out based on Cameron's recommendations and how to have that meeting with your team, what questions to ask them, how to get everyone engaged in the vision, and then how to make sure that it's baked into the fabric of your company moving forward so that you're reviewing it consistently and it's not just a cool document that you created and then goes in a folder somewhere, but you really use it as the tool it's meant to be used for.
Yeah, we've definitely seen companies like fill a wall with it, like put either elements or the whole thing up across a wall in the business or create it as a vision board in their personal office, that kind of thing. I have always liked to take my annual plans and create a collage of them. I'm also long-term things to create visual image reminders that have like a subconscious effect on me. Over in the corner, I can see a picture of my 1-4 last year. And I have a picture of this guy surfing in a chem suit kind of thing. Right. And it was a reminder to me that no matter what goes on in the world, like with, COVID or what kind of restrictions are, then I'm going to have find a way to keep playing, right? Keep having some fun. So if I've got to go out and get in the lineup in a in some Tyvek suit, I'm going to do that, right? So keep at it.
I love that.
Versus getting stopped and whining about how the world, you know, isn't any fun anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, that's another key thing that we really saw this last year of there's many ways that the Vivid Vision can be so helpful, from recruiting top talent to aligning your current team, helping to delegate so you can focus on what you're best at, having clarity when scaling up, getting key vendors, partners on board. But one of the big ones last year was to create a sense of confidence for the core team while in the middle of circumstance. So there were companies that, you know, even we did some rapid Vivid Visions where, you know, a founder said, hey, I have to downsize my company 50% and we're about to lay off 100 people. I need to create a vision that makes sure that the rest of the people that are still here are enrolled in where we're headed and they don't get freaked out.
Yes.
So that's a big one. One of the pieces of advice that I received from a mentor of mine named Mary Morsi that is like my mantra for life is hold the vision, not the circumstance.
Mm, lovely. Yeah.
But you got to know what the vision is.
Change, right? Yeah, absolutely. Right. We all stand on different ground at different moments, experience different things. If we keep that vision in sight, we navigate those things, always returning to our own personal true north. I think there's something really beautiful in that. So just to recap a few things for the listeners. The first thing is like even getting clear on what your vision is. Probably many of us have a notion of a few points, but it's not a particularly rich vision. We haven't taken the time to fill in all the blanks and really paint the picture, right? We have a few points out there in the future. And then getting effective at communicating it, making sure it's what you really want, getting effective at communicating, getting other people engaged in it. The current team, people you're recruiting, partners, customers, investors, getting everyone kind of on the same thing so that you're more aligned, and that can pay off huge dividends in your growth and growth on plan, right? Growth towards that particular future versus in unexpected directions. And ultimately, this thing helps you to filter your actions, your efforts, your partners, all in ways that keep you moving towards that vision that you've created. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Lovely. Well, I know folks like to know more. This one's likely a very hot thing for many of our listeners. And certainly this goes to ours, right? A couple of years ago, I said that I wanted to have a TV show in a few years. And then it was a longer term thing. But then this last year, we went into Zoom land from wherever we were before. And we got better. We upgraded our cameras and our microphones and our lighting and things like that. We figured out how to get good on camera. And that really propelled us to some new results this year in a time that would have been otherwise difficult. Mm. If you want to find out more about Jennifer Hootie's company, you're going to go to Create Your Vivid Vision. Very easy to remember. CreateYourVividVision.com is the URL. We'll put that in the show notes. So whether you're listening or watching, that's an easy one to remember. Go check out their company. Whether you work with them or not, you'll get some ideas on how to create your vivid vision, but they can definitely help you. They've done hundreds of companies now, and they really know this process. And it's the kind of thing that many of our company leaders agonize over. So you can knock it out of the park and do it very quickly if you work with Jennifer and her company. Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for joining our show today and talking about this process and really everything that there is that goes into it. And then I want to thank Lucy Summers, who helps get our show ready and schedule things and prepare our guests and all that kind of thing. Big thanks to Vern Harnish, author and creator of the Scaling Up Framework that Cameron and Brian also use to grow their businesses and scale to first 100 million and now well beyond 500 million. Audio is edited by Albert Burge at Podfly Productions. Our show notes get written up by Ayn Kadena and proofread by Tim McGowan. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Keep scaling up.